Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Homers at the Bat podcast. My name is Joe Gruen, and my associate podcaster, Jeff Crisco, is also with me.
Hi, Joe. How's it going?
How are you?
I'm doing great.
I feel like we're in the Matrix. Do you?
Yeah, I do too. I feel like there's a glitch in the Matrix, like we've done this before.
Well, Jeff, I'm very excited, Matrix or not, because we get to talk about our very, very, very favorite team, the San Francisco Giants. And it's been an exciting day because they are the division leading San Francisco Giants as of this podcast.
As of this very moment, until the Dodgers play tonight, which Clayton Kershaw is going. So enjoy first base while it lasts, because we'll be back in second.
But it's Clayton Kershaw versus the all-time great Jesse Chavez.
Oh, how did I forget? Jesse Chavez. Essentially, it's, 1A, 1B in the league. Is that safe to say?
Yes, of course.
They often call Jesse Chavez the
Kershaw Light.
Yeah, or the Clayton Kershaw of the AL. Like,
right.
Yeah.
So. And, you know, the other thing is, in all honesty and all seriousness, the A's never fail in helping the Giants out. So I'm really, really confident in this.
Yeah. Well, it was nice of them to, like, wait to time up their rotation so that we wouldn't face Sonny Gray. And then the first game, Sonny Gray can go out and play the Dodgers. So that was very nice of them to time it that way. They're always looking to help the Giants out.
It's super nice, Jeff. It is long been known that Brian Sabian and Billy Bean are very good friends.
Yes. Their strategies for building a team are very similar too. Except Billy
slash Bean, very different.
Well, Billy Bean likes to do it with good savvy moves, whereas Brian Sabian just likes to flail around and whatever happens, happens.
Right. And Brian Sabian also likes to sign the awesome prospects about 10 years or 15 years too late.
Yeah. I mean, Billy Bean goes out and finds them. And then Brian Sabian takes that file folder and then he just puts it in a safe for 10 years and he pulls it out and he goes, well, I assume nothing's changed about these players. And then he goes,
hey, 40 is the new 20. That's what they say.
Yeah, right.
Well, we got a real quick podcast coming up. It's only going to be about 45 minutes, but that is sufficient time to completely exhaust our brains on the San Francisco Giants. Let's move right into the rumors. The big names, Cole Hamels, David Price. Recently this morning, I found out that via MLB trade rumors and Roto World that the Giants had fallen out of favor in the Cole Hamels talks and that they had not discussed a trade in 24 hours. What do you think of that?
I think that's fine. I mean, outside of maybe Susak, I mean, I don't know what – we talked yesterday about how the Tigers probably want major league ready talent for David Price when we talked about a potential price for Tulo flip. So I'm not entirely sure what they would want. I'm looking here. It looks like John Morosi is saying that they were talking Bede, Biagini, and Marte.
So that's David Price now. You have moved past Cole Hamels. You're completely fine with no Cole Hamels. It's possible
that.
I said David Price. Again, I'm coming off the juice.
Yeah, you did. You're like, all right, David Price. And so I started talking about David Price.
Okay, let's talk about Cole Hamels. Not talk about Cole Hamels. You're fine without Cole Hamels.
I'm fine without Cole Hamels. I think that...
Good, because the Giants aren't getting him.
I would be very happy with the Giants getting Cole Hamels, but if the Phillies balked at what the Red Sox were offering earlier in the year, or, you know, it sounded like there was something going around with a Risney Castillo or Mookie Betts built package for Cole Hamels. If they balked at that, then I don't know what the Giants were going to give him.
Yeah, it seems like the asking price is very steep and that Cole Hamels is also very picky about what is going to happen with him when he gets to his new team. So kind of happy we are dodging Cole Hamels. Kind of also happy that just today, literally, I don't know, a few hours after the Cole Hamels news broke, David Price is back on the market because the Detroit Tigers and Dave Dombrowski are officially sellers.
Yeah, actually, I got a call this morning. It was my buddy Dave from Detroit, and he's like, "You know what, Jeff? I listened to the podcast yesterday. You and Joe are right. I don't think we're gonna. I don't think we're gonna make it this year. We need to be sellers." And so I told him about the Tulo deal. We'll see if he thinks that that's a good call. But
well, why don't you tell him that we got a pretty good shortstop over here, and his name is Brandon Crawford, and maybe, just maybe. And stop me if I sound completely crazy.
Joe, who would play shortstop if we traded Brandon Crawford?
I believe we've been giving at bats to Ahiri Adrianza.
Joe, I would rather
are have those crickets on your end.
I would rather have Joe. I would rather have Brandon Crawford and at shortstop and me pitching than Ahiri Adrianza and David Price.
Okay, well, so fair enough. And most Giants fans, true blue Giants fans, true orange Giants fans, will certainly agree with you. But let's just take it down the rabbit's hole. We got 45 minutes. Let's say for a second
that you're not a true Giants fan.
That I am not a true Giants fan, but also that I'm running the Giants.
Oh, God, you really aren't a Giants fan.
Well, let's look at this, because Brandon Crawford and Ahiri Adrianza, I still don't know how to pronounce his name, but I hope too soon. Both of them profiled very similarly in the minors. They were defensive whizzes. They could not hit a lick. And the only real difference is that Crawford showed a bit more power potential than Adrianza, who was more of a slap hitter. What do you think of potentially, and let me just put this on the table, a package built around, let's say, Crawford and some pieces for David Price? Do you give up Brandon Crawford for David Price?
No, not at all. I don't think so. I'm checking David Price's. How long is David Price's contract through?
I believe it is very short. I don't know. Good question.
I'm going to pull it up right now. Baseball Reference. While I'm pulling this up, I think that the
he's an unrestricted free agent next year.
So he's... Oh, Joe, I would not trade Brandon Crawford for 10 to 12 starts of David Price. Are you crazy?
What if they lock him up to a deal and then flip him?
No.
Crawford's and it means that we can keep Tyler Beede.
Joe, Crawford's under team control for until 20. He doesn't come a free agent until 2018. He's not even ARB eligible until after next year. He makes $3 million this year. David Price makes I was going to say seven times that. He makes almost $20 million a year. I don't think that that's the best idea.
Jeff, that's Rick Porcello money.
Oh, it's just Rick Porcello. Why don't we go out and get Rick Porcello? Now we're talking.
Now we're talking. Okay, well, you know what? Let's drift out of the realm where insane things happen and back to reality, because it turns out they don't even really want Crawford. What they want are our young pitching prospects, Tyler Beede being at the top, and a few other names I believe were thrown in there. You just read that today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tyler Beede. Where did that go? I had that up. Tyler Beede, Biagini, Marte, and then Mella at High Class A, who I can go scout, because that means he's nice. In San Jose.
Nice. Yeah. I know of, what was the third name there? It stood out.
Marte,
yeah. That's the only one I've heard of outside of Beede.
Hmm.
So,
yeah. I would be more than happy to move prospects. I think that the Giants are sort of in a window where they are going to take their swings now. Mm-hmm. They've got some good talent coming up. I don't know. I'm okay trading prospects for him, because I'm always of the mind that prospects can very much flame out.
Again, as we've seen in the past with Zach Wheeler and others.
Yeah, remember when the Giants were like, hey, so we have this we would like Carlos Beltran, and the Mets are like, we would love Gary Brown. They were like, no, you can't have Gary Brown.
And also, do you remember when the Pirates were like, hey, we'll give you Freddie Sanchez, but we want Tim Alderson. And we were like, okay.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh no, in the fan base. And now where's Tim Alderson?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm very much okay with trading prospects as long as you don't gut the minor league system. Like, I don't the idea of trading a whole bunch of prospects at once, but if you move one or two a year, even a top prospect like Beedy, I'm okay with that because they're prospects. They could become nothing. Whereas, you know, it's like the opposite of the, you know, a boat's a boat, but a mystery box could be anything. It could even be a boat. It's like you could have David Price or you could have Tyler Beedy, who could be David Price one day.
Yeah.
So it's sort of,
yeah.
I as a rental, it's iffy, but if they could do like the Papelbon thing where they could say, hey, you know, we agree to trade you and we'll sign you to a 1-year extension so that it's more than just an 80 game rental or whatever. Now that would go, I would swallow that a lot easier.
Right. And the beauty of a trade like that is Tyler Beedy does not really help us like at all. If you think about it, because chances are the window for us is going to be entirely closed. All our great players now will have entered the twilight of their careers, if not retired. Well, not retired, but probably the twilight of their careers. And Tyler Beedy is not going to return us to greatness. Tyler Beedy is going to be a great player on a likely bad team.
Yeah, well, I wonder,
should we keep him?
Should we keep him? Yeah, he could be a good player on a bad team in Detroit, and we could have David Price.
Well, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, I think we're of agreeable mind. I think the problem is, though, is I think that just Tyler Beedy won't get it done.
I agree.
I think they would likely want one of our major league ready prospects slash play. You know,
does one of their names rhyme with Pusak?
I was thinking Susak. I was thinking they might want Duffy. Now, whether or not the Giants would be willing to give up Duffy is another question, but I was thinking that that was a potential demand they might have.
So would you rather give up Duffy than Crawford?
Would I rather give up Duffy than Crawford?
Who is batting third for us?
So was Joaquin Arias at one point.
No, really?
Yeah.
I've been out of the loop.
It was like a couple games, and I was like, Bruce Bochy, what are you doing? Let's see, Matt Duffy, he is under team control until 2021. That's a tough one. He has more positional flexibility. His defense isn't nearly as good, which, I mean,
it's not bad.
Yeah, it's not
for
bad.
For third base, it's pretty damn good, actually.
Yeah. Oh, God. Would I rather trade? I think I would rather trade Matt Duffy than Brandon Crawford.
I would agree. The only thing I would say is I don't think either is going to happen. Because Matt Duffy, if we lose him, we don't really have a replacement except, of course, for A.R.A. Duranza, which I don't see happening. Maybe we promote Adam Duvall. He comes in and can hit some dingers with low average. But I don't see how that makes us that much better. I mean, it makes us better when we get David Price. But I think we're keeping Matt Duffy. He's been too valuable to the team. He's like the Panic of this year and the Scudero and Crawford of 2012 and the Posey Bumgarner of 2010 in the sense that he stepped in and was exactly what we needed at exactly the right time, coming from nowhere in our farm system. So except for Posey and Bumgarner, they came from somewhere, but,
What you're saying. And I noticed those were very selectively chosen years, 2010, 2012, 2014.
Yes. There's a pattern there.
Yes. Every other year. Some might say every even year, but, no, I agree. He and Panic together and Susak have created a nice little baby Giants sort of group. But if they're going to make a move for a Cole Hamels, which does sound like it's going to happen, or a David Price, one of those guys is going to have to go, I think.
I would say if Tyler Beattie's part of the equation, maybe you can get away with packaging him with what's his face, the other one I really liked, Marte, and potentially one of the guys we'll talk about later, Chris Stratton or Clayton Blackburn, who are performing very admirably at AAA in a hitter-friendly league.
Yeah, that's potentially possible, but you've stopped me in my tracks, Stroberg.
I think we've exhausted David Price. We want him. We would give up pretty much anything to get him, except for apparently Brandon Crawford, who was never supposed to hit, but is the heart and soul of the Giants, I would say.
And he's very dreamy. Can we just stop and appreciate how dreamy Brandon Crawford is for 1 second?
Yes. I've always thought we need to contour this podcast to the 13-year-old girls in the crowd. And let's just talk about his eyes and hair.
His hair is so dreamy. Did you see the picture of him as a little kid? It was adorable. He was a Dustin Dragon.
His smile's so adorable.
Okay, that's enough.
All right. Anyway, let's move on to a man who we talked about yesterday, Big Game James, because his name came up as a favorite for the Giants on MLB trade rumors. I can't remember where I saw it, Jeff, but I saw it on there. And let's look at this. Big Game James. James Shields was right there.
Well, I think that James Shields would be hilarious to have on the team, just like I think it's hilarious to have Nori Aoki on the team, because they were both on the 2014 Royals, who the Giants beat in 7 games. Now, indeed. Big Game James had a much bigger role in that because he started 2 games, and I think the Royals lost. Sorry. The video started playing. I think the Royals lost both games. Not quite as big as he thinks he is.
Yeah, such a big Game James.
And I just think that Big Game James and Madison Bumgarner would have an awkward relationship because Mad Bum beat his head in both times they pitched against each other. So,
you know, I would say that if we got a guy like, let's say, Matt Latos, who maybe we'll bring up later in the podcast, but I think a guy like James Shields is so level-headed. He seems like such a cool guy. I would like James Shields. He's not the James Shields of the past. I don't think that, but I think he's definitely an admirable number two, and I wouldn't mind seeing it, especially if it meant we didn't have to exhaust our farm system to get him.
Yeah, he would definitely come at a cheaper price, but you brought up Matt Latos. Do me a favor, punch his name into Google.
I've already done it. I was saving it for later.
Because that guy, I don't think he's going to be traded again today.
I don't either, because it's a beautiful thing. Honestly, the joy I would have felt from seeing the Dodgers with Matt Latos is counteracted by the pain I would have felt seeing them with Mike Morse. So I think that it worked out perfectly. I would rather not see Mike Morse on the Dodgers than see Matt Latos on the Dodgers.
Yeah. When I saw that it had gone through, I saw, that's hilarious because all Giants fans hate Matt Latos. And then I saw it was Michael Morse, and I was like, that is very sad because I don't want to see Michael Morse in a Giants uniform. I don't know if there's a more loved one season Giant than Michael Morse. Like,
I would say Marco Scudero.
No, Scoots played for a couple, played for a couple of years because he played after the World Series.
Yeah, but he played for I see what you're saying. Yes, because he was like at the end of the season, he was gone.
Yeah, like he came in.
I don't think Scudero's played a full season worth of games.
No, he hasn't. But he came in, they won the World Series, he left. And I'm sure that had something to do with it, but everybody loves Michael Morse, I myself included, and he was just sort of a one season guy. Because I mean, Cody Ross stuck around a little bit. I'm trying to think of other guys like Michael Morse. Pat Burrell stuck around a little bit.
Aubrey Huff
got the Aubrey Huff contract.
That's right. What about Juan Uribe? Do we hate him?
Juan Uribe, I think he was around a few years. I don't think he came in like Morse did. I know he was garbage. He was with the Giants for 2 years. That's right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it may be just because we don't have many one-season Giants.
That could be it.
Certainly not as important as Mike Morris.
Yeah, so that trade, if it goes through, I will be happy and sad. And the fact that I know it exists makes me sad that it hasn't gone through, because I really want to see Matt Latos as the Dodger.
Totally agree. I want to beat his head in again. It actually makes me confident that we can beat them in the division, which is really weird. Like, that they would get a pretty decent mid-level two or three starter, and somehow I would feel more confident that we could beat them.
It's because, I mean, the iconic moment of Matt Latos's career is Buster Posey cracking a grand slam off him.
It's a beautiful gift that we've all seen a million times, I'm sure. But anyway, let's get back to Big James. I like him a lot. I think he's having a much better season than I even thought he was having. 377, granted it's in San Diego, so that it does seem like kind of fall off, but 133 innings pitched with 148 strikeouts. That don't lie. That's pretty good. The walks are a little up there. He has 47 this year, so it looks like he might even be on pace to outpace his career high of 68. But I think that that could be because he's playing for a bad team, and he hasn't done that in quite some time. So I would say bring on James Shields. I would totally want him on the Giants.
Oh, I'd love to have James Shields on the Giants on a nice, spacious ballpark like AT&T. Any above-average pitcher I would love to have on the Giants, because even if they're not pitching their best, AT&T will cover a lot of flaws. I think that happened last year in the second half when they picked up Jake Peavy. Jake Peavy really pitched to the ballpark. Mm-hmm. And now he's just old and hurt now. I mean, that happens. That's why he's not nearly as good as he was last year. But I would not be opposed to James Shields in a Giants uniform, no.
Yes. As old as hurt and as hurt as he is, he's not as seemingly old and hurt as Lincecum and Kane. He's definitely not as hurt as them.
Yeah, but here's the only problem with Big Game James. Mm-hmm. He is signed through 2018.
Yes.
At $18.75 million a year.
Yes, which is why I don't think he will cost any prospects, because for that kind of money, we could go out and potentially get Johnny Cueto. if he were to leave the Royals?
Yeah, the Giants could get a much better pitcher in free agency for that amount. So, I mean, I admittedly do not know a lot about prospects, but I'm looking at the Padres prospects, and I know almost none of their names except for Jacob Nix for some reason. And
because you're confusing him with Jason Nix.
That could be it. But what I was thinking is we could trade – Big Game, or trade for Big Game, get a mid-level, you know, a decent prospect back for just whatever, that you, Padres sort of acknowledge, maybe we shouldn't have signed him to this contract. Here's a prospect for taking this contract off our books. That sort of move.
And honestly, if you're the Padres, that's the only reason you're doing this, because you've spent so much, you've exhausted so much of your farm system and spent a decent amount of money to build the team that you thought was going to be a division winner this year. You're not just giving up on that dream now. So you're only doing this to clear salary cap space to go out and sign somebody else.
Like a Cueto. And then the whole thing starts all over again.
Okay. Let's move on real quick. Cause we only got like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Aroldis Chapman. There have been talks about Aroldis Chapman. Now we're shifting a little more into the realm of the bullpen. What do you think about a potential deal for a guy like Aroldis Chapman?
Not going to happen. Sorry. He did.
That's okay, Jeff.
I have confidence that they're not pitching well right now, but the Giants bullpen is a good bullpen. It was their strength. I believe it continues to be their strength. Castilla has gotten really exhausted. I mean, he started off the season incredible. But I don't think that a Chapman is the answer. It's not like a Cubs situation like we talked about where they're sort of a closer way. I think that the Giants should not trade for Aroldis Chapman.
Okay, so I agree and disagree simultaneously. I agree that a closer and certainly Aroldis Chapman is not the answer. However, I do not believe that our bullpen is as stable or as much of a strength as it has been in the past for a few reasons. San Diego Garcia dropping off recently has been one. The simple fact that we haven't been able to hold on to a closer in the closer role for over 2 years or even a year really has been kind of a trend for us. We, you know, we had Brian Wilson and he fell out as our closer, or he left us, and then Sergio Romo, then he fell out, and then now we've had Santiago Casillo, who could potentially be falling out. So I think that the Giants are in search of a new closer. I don't believe it's Hunter Strickland, although I like what he's done this year. You know what I think.
What do you think? Oh, God, no. Joe, he has a downer of hip issue. He can't be the closer.
Bring him back. Put him out there with a bionic hip. Spend what you got to do to keep Linscomb relevant. Big game, Timmy. That's what we need, not big game, James. All right, let's move on.
No, we can't.
let's leave it at that. Let's leave it at that and put another sour taste in your mouth with the name Mike Leake. What do you think of Mike Leake, Jeff?
Mike Leake is the platonic ideal of an average pitcher in Major League Baseball.
But he hits dingers,
oh,
at least in Reds ballpark.
Never mind. Let's go get him and sign him to a 10-year contract at $20 million a year. He is like Jake Peavy last year, just a guy who could come in and produce some quality innings for the Giants and then get a contract for some reason and then be hurt and broken. He could be the next player in the mold of Jake Peavy, Ryan Vogelsong.
If we can get anything from Mike Leake at 36 that we got from Ryan Vogelsong at 36, I'd say go sign him to a 10-year deal.
Shh. Sabian listening. If he can be had for almost nothing, go for it. He is an okay pitcher, which is more than can be said about Ryan Vogelsong this year, which is more than can be said about, I think, all but one of Matt Cain's starts, I think.
Yep.
And
anyone named Jake Peavy and Tim Hudson, too.
Yes, and Tim Linscomb. So Tim Linscomb. It's been a cavalcade of bad for the Giants pitching.
Sure staff. Has.
So even just plugging a league average pitcher into there in AT&T Park will be gangbusters.
So let's talk about the next pitcher, and this is the last pitcher on the list. A guy that used to catch passes from Brady Quinn at Notre Dame, and now he's was a pitcher for the Cubs, now a pitcher for the White Sox, loves Chicago, but maybe he'll come out to the Bay, Jeff Samardzija.
You didn't see it. I was shaking my head. Samardzija could be a good pickup, and I am stalling because I'm trying to figure out how to spell Samardzija to look up his contract situation.
Right. Well, I will list off some stats while you look up that. Okay. He has a 3.94 ERA this year, which is quite a bit of difference from the 3.14 he had last year, and certainly different from the 2.83 he had the year before, or 2.99 he had the year before. He had 2.99 last year total. And this year he has 3.94. So that is a huge drop off of a whole run. 148 innings pitched, 111 strikeouts, 27 walks. That's not so bad. 610 BFs, and he's leading the league in that. Lord knows what that is.
It's batter's face.
Oh, no.
No, he leads the league in best friends. He has 610 best friends.
Well, geez, you know, in the age of Facebook, that just doesn't seem hard anymore. No. And he's also led the league in hits given up, 148. So Jeff Samardzija, you don't like him. He's 30. Am I fair in saying that?
You are fair in saying he's 30. Mm-hmm. There are statistics to back that up, most notably his date of birth. But the more I'm looking at this, he has given up a lot of hits. So, but his walk rate is kind of low. So his whip is evened out. He's just about 1.2. I'm looking at his xFIP and his FIP and his ERA. They're all in line. So this 394 is pretty much what he is. Actually, now that I'm looking at this, he's got $8 million due to him. He's a free agent after the year. I think he's a pretty perfect rental, actually. He would actually be, I think, a better fit than Mike Leake, mostly because I think he's a better pitcher. But he would probably be gone after this year, would be my guess.
That would also be my guess, because I think he's still in that weird age, and he's put together enough of a track record where he could demand a pretty decent contract next year. And I don't know that the Giants want to give that to another 30-plus pitcher.
Yeah, and he's sort of I'm checking right now his earnings. Yeah, he's in the James Shields mold, where this is going to be his one last big contract, more than likely, before he right. goes out. So he's going to want to really cash in, because I'm looking at this. He's made about less than $6 million every year of his career, except for this year. He's making 9.8. So I'm guessing he's looking at that Rick Porcello money. So he's gone after the season. So he would definitely be a rental. I'd be down with it. I'm down for any league average or better pitcher coming to the Giants, because they are severely lacking in that right now.
Totally agree. And I could actually see some margin improving, because he hasn't pitched in a pitcher's ballpark yet in his career.
That's true. Well, he pitched in Oakland last year, which is pretty pitchery, but he 3.14 ERA there, so I'm fine
with
that.
That ain't so bad. Yeah, that is pretty good. And his strikeouts per innings pitched actually went up as a result, which I don't know if there's any science backing that up. But anyway, let's do some quick hits on the last three name players on this, on some outfielders. Cameron Maybin, Carlos Gomez, and Rajay Davis. Of those guys, who would you rather see on the Giants? Why? Go.
So it's Maybin, Cargo, and
Rajay Davis.
Oh, God.
One of these things is not like...
Not like, yeah. So if it's, it was it, Mary Screw Kill, kill Rajay Davis.
Three times.
Yeah, kill him three times, go to jail, let Carlos Gomez and Cameron Maybin get married together. I would say...
And then hire that kid, sign that kid.
I would probably say that Carlos Gomez would be the one I would want most.
Agreed.
Just because... The
so let me drop a question on you here real quick.
Yeah.
If you had to pay more for Carlos Gomez, which you almost undoubtedly will, because he mm-hmm. seems like the future, the only future that the Brewers have left next to Mike Fiers. Or you could get Cameron Maybin relatively cheap, because the Braves have guys like Freddie Freeman, they've guys like some of their pitchers, Julio Teheran. Maybe you pay a little less for him than you do for Carlos Gomez. Which one would you rather have in that scenario?
I would rather have Cameron Maybin, but I just looked up Cameron Maybin and Mark Bowman, who's a beat writer for the Braves for MLB.com, says that they need to, quote, be blown away with an offer to deal him.
Good God. Yeah. Really?
Also, I'm going to read you a tweet from Ken Rosenthal that he tweeted 2 days ago, but you have to promise me you don't kill yourself when you hear it, okay?
I promise I will not kill myself in my room.
Okay. Sources. Braves floated Maybin and Juan Uribe for Angel Pagan and a prospect sometime back, but the Giants said no, believing Angel Pagan to be better than Cameron Maybin.
Wow. Well, that is something else that I don't want to think about. That is horrible. Wow.
Yeah. I would trade Pagan and a mid-level prospect for Cameron Maybin just by himself. Maybe it was Juan Uribe was the deal killer.
Right. Got to hold on to Juan Uribe. Mr. Boomstick.
Mr. Boomstick. I would like to have Cameron Maybin at his price. I would rather have Carlos Gomez. I do not want Rajai Davis anywhere near a San Francisco Giants uniform.
Okay. I do have a soft spot in my heart for Rajai Davis. That's why I threw him in there. I would tend to agree. I like Cargo a lot. I just think he's just one of those dynamic players that is going to continue to be great. I also like Cameron Maybin a lot. I think he's finally hitting his stride. He's one of those late bloomers, and I think he's just going to keep it up. If we're talking about better leadoff guys, probably Carlos Gomez. If we're talking about better all-around players, not having to worry about a dude being a hothead, I would rather go with Cameron Maybin. Either way, I don't want to give up too much for either of them.
Yeah, I forgot Carlos Gomez was a crazy person.
He's out of his freaking mind.
Yeah, so probably going to go with Maybin either way, because I don't like the way that he Carlos Gomez conducts himself. Why would you throw your helmet at somebody? That's like the dumbest thing.
He's not a good glue guy, Jeff. No,
thank you. That's a good term. Glue guy. I like it. I like it. All right.
Either way, I would say we don't need an outfielder nearly as bad as we need a starter. Is that fair to say?
That is absolutely true.
Let's move on to some Giants moves. Let's also just note, I'd like for everybody to know, that of the main names being floated in trade talks, Tyler Beede is the main name and Susak is the secondary name. So those are guys that we would have to consider trading to get any of those aforementioned players. Recent moves. Nori Aoki's back. What do you think of that, Jeff?
I am very happy with that. Nori Aoki is back. I like what he brings to the team. He is the anti-Carlos Gomez in that he seems to be a really awesome glue guy. And everything seems to flow better when he's in the lineup. And hopefully this means that Angel Pagan will get more time not playing. Although that does mean that Gregor Blanco will be playing more, but what are you going
to... Gregor Blanco's been pretty good this year. He's hitting 300, yeah. He's stealing bases. I'm not okay with that.
Yeah, he's at this point, he might be edging up to equal value for Angel Pagan. Pagan has really been struggling.
And it was to be expected. I mean, the guy is, he's entering that third year of his contract where everybody would kind of think, okay, this is when he's going to start to fall off when the contract was made. So no big surprise for me or I would think anyone else. Moving on, Joaquin Arias has been waived. What do you think of that?
It sucks, but with the emergence of Matt Duffy and Ahiri Adrianza, they can sort of shuffle people around. I understand not being able to have him on the roster. Wish he could have been outrighted to Sacramento to keep him with the organization, because there's going to be an injury and he'll be needed and he won't be there anymore.
Totally agree.
I was going to say, he was never great, but he was always just good enough.
Totally agree. And he always seemed to come in and do something kind of neat every once in a while. I don't know. I kind of liked him. But I do understand them getting rid of him because Matt Duffy is a super utility guy. And Ahiri Adrianza can actually play pretty much all over the field. So I'm certainly don't see any need to have him on the roster. Let's skip over the next one because I kind of want to get to that last. Jeremy Affeldt's been activated. Tim Hudson's been activated and Casey McGeehee has been released. What do you think of all those moves?
I think that Casey McGeehee being released is awesome because Casey McGeehee has been hot garbage season. And I think he's been a Marlin for a while now, which he can stay a Marlin. That's fine. Tim Hudson is bad and old. And I read a report before the season that he was planning on retiring.
That's always nice to hear.
Yeah, he was planning on retiring after this year. He almost retired. They said he retired and unretired like 6 times on the flight home from Kansas City after the World Series. So I think that he is done. He had a great career. Probably should have gone out on top, but he's just sort of done. And then Jeremy Affeldt, he hasn't seemed right since he's been back, but. He's another one of the guys that I think is a decent arm in the bullpen, but he's getting up there. He's 36, so he might be on his way out as well.
Yeah, you would hope that. Let's just go over I'll follow suit. Casey McGeehee, terrible. Really glad he's gone. Tim Hudson is back, but who cares, because he's not a great pitcher or even really a startable pitcher. And Jeremy Affeld, I'm a little torn on him because to me, he's very similar to Javier Lopez, not in ERA certainly this year, but he's just came around the same time as Javier Lopez, and was arguably one of the most endearing Giants of this dynasty period, I would say.
Oh yeah, I would agree with that. He's he and Javi Lopez have been around for all three championships. They sort of have been the consistent guys that have always been there in the bullpen, because like you touched on earlier, Brian Wilson came in with, and some other guys came and went in and out in the lineup, and they've always been there. And I know what you mean. Him getting old and bad is sort of like an era is ending, and the Giants are not getting Carlos Gomez because Wilmer Flores and Zach Wheeler are now Brewers, and Carlos Gomez is
a, oh my.
Yeah, just came across my phone. Just got a breaking news alert. So
Jeff,
everything
Jeff, can
I
make
said
a
about
request?
Everything I said about the Mets being bad is wrong. The Mets are great now, and I love the Mets.
Jeff, can I make a request?
What's that?
Can we get a little Our Team, Our Time at the beginning of this podcast? Yeah.
All right, we'll do it 2 podcasts in a row.
Yes. Okay, awesome. So anyway, Jeremy Affeld, I hope he's still good. And even if he's not, I hope he stays, because we have some guys like Hunter Strickland, who's having a great year but needs some mentoring. And some other guys in the minors, like bullpen arms, like Brett Bochy, like some names are escaping me, but we do have quite a few. And it would be nice to have guys like Affeld and Javier Lopez there to continue to tootle them into the future.
Nice word. I like it.
Okay, so let's move on from the moves. Quick hits. I've done a lot of quick hits. But let's have a quick questionnaire. Pick one. If the Giants could do anything, get a starter, get a closer, get an outfielder, which should they do?
Starter.
Agreed. Okay, that was easy. Anyway, potential moves. We have some guys in the minors. In the off chance that we perhaps don't bag a guy like David Price, the seemingly very likely chance that we don't bag a guy like Cole Hamels, let's say we miss out on the Mike Leake sweepstakes, we are going to need a starter from the minor leagues to step into our rotation and potentially show us something over the course of the next few months that will solidify perhaps a role playing, pitching a game 4 in the World Series. We have two guys in the minor leagues right now, Chris Stratton and Clayton Blackburn, who have been pitching prospects for seemingly ever. They are still both under 27, I believe, and they're performing quite admirably. I'll start with Chris Stratton. He has a 3.02 ERA through 10 starts, 59 innings pitched, 35 strikeouts, 2.21 walks, so that's a little spooky. But still a 3.02 ERA in a notorious hitters league like the Pacific Coast League. Is that what it's called?
The PCL, the Pacific Coast League, yeah.
Pacific Coast League is very, very impressive. That is not common whatsoever.
No.
Clayton Blackburn has been great by his own respects. 3.84 ERA, 15 games, 12 games started, 72 innings pitched, 57 strikeouts to 19 walks, a much better strikeout to walk ratio. Jeff, what do you think of either of these guys perhaps stepping into the rotation and filling that number 5 starter role and maybe becoming a number 4 going into the playoffs?
Well, I think it's a scary prospect to have two young, or not young in the case of Chris Heston, but two unproven pitchers in your rotation.
Rookies.
Yeah. I hesitate to call a 27-year-old guy like Heston a rookie, even though he is.
Right.
But the profiles for both of these guys they're okay. I think rather have Stratton. His age 24, he's been around longer. Blackburn's only 22. So he might be a little bit overwhelmed. He's also pitched exactly was inning 72 innings above A ball, or above Double A. Sorry. So in Triple A, he's only pitched 72 innings. So
that good stat, one, Jeff.
Yeah, that it's a little messy there. Whereas, so has Stratton. Oh my God, I thought Stratton had pitched in the Triple A more, but. Nope. But a 3.02 ERA in the PCL is incredible. That's a notorious pitchers league, like you said. All the Mets super prospects were getting torn up in the PCL, so that says a lot about the league. I'm looking at it. His whip's low. His batting average against is pretty low. Strikeout to walk, like you said, has been iffy. But if I had to pick one, I'd probably go with Stratton.
So I am going to play devil's advocate and say I will go with Clayton Blackburn for the simple fact that he has been a more highly touted prospect in his time in the system. He has pitched. Did you just say that neither of them had pitched more than 80 innings?
He pitched
above
Double A. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. That's accurate. But Blackburn in Double A last year pitched, 93 innings, which isn't so bad, with an 85-20 strikeout to walk ratio and a 3.29 ERA. However, he is also age 21 as opposed to Stratton, who is age 24, which may actually be an argument in your favor to promote a guy who is closer to that age where you want to kind of see if he'll prove himself in the majors and leave Blackburn down for a little bit more seasoning and maybe bring him up next season.
Yeah, and if you're in a run like the Giants are, which guy are you going to want under the lights? The guy who's been around for a couple more seasons and has had more time under his belt, or the young gun? I would take the guy that's been around for a couple more seasons Stratton.
I agree, Jeff. And I think even just from an age thing, because like if you think back to like when you were 21 – arguably the dumbest age you've ever been, correct?
Yeah, I mean that's when we lived together. So I was
right. Yeah, it's just poor decisions all around, really.
Yeah, just a cavalcade of terrible decisions.
Right. even just 3 years down the road at 24, you kind of do get some maturity, and then 25 is a really great age where things start to really click together. So it might make sense to promote a guy like Stratton. I think you flip me, but I think Blackburn will be ultimately the better player. So should a trade come up, a trade offer come up, I would rather see Stratton go than Blackburn.
I'm of the same opinion. It's just for 2015, which player would I rather see in a San Francisco Giants uniform? That would be Stratton.
Totally agree. Yeah. All right, Jeff, it is 6:16. And I believe you have to go.
Yes, I did have a hard stop at 6:15, so now it's a hard stop at 6:16. So, this was a lot of fun. Thanks for listening, everybody. Joe Berg, any parting words?
Enjoy this time, because it is the best time of the year.
So the same parting words as yesterday.
Exactly. Everybody, really have fun. Honestly, no matter what team you are, you should be tuned into this time of the year, because even if you have a bad team, the chances are that you will trade one of your great players and bomb for a higher drafting position, but also to get back a lot of nice, neat young prospects, and you can kind of roster bait and sit around and think, oh, well, won't this guy be great in 5 years? So really, everybody should be excited right around this time of year if you're a baseball fan.
It is the best time of the year. So, all right, guys, for me, Jeff, and for Joe, thanks for listening, and have a good one.
Adios.
We score the runs. We shut you down. We're number one. Our team, our gonna strike you out. Billy Wacker coming through, he's throwing heat, no doubt. David Wright, Jose Reyes, making sure you're not safe, just in case. Carlos Delgado, he's